All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Highly Unlikely with Josh and Janae. It's just Josh and Janae today, but this is us having a coffee with you, and we're going to talk about some sweet stuff.
Yeah.
So we're excited, but we're starting
off.
This
is more of an organic podcast today, where it literally is us talking through some things. I like the podcasts that aren't so planned.
Right.
And I drew the card.
You drew two
cards. That ended up being two cards. I actually thought it was one. But I like how they go together. Okay. So we're going to do both.
Okay.
Okay. Do you like to cook?
No.
I can vouch for that.
Do you like to cook?
I used to.
Do you like to cook?
I don't like to cook now. Do I cook for our family though?
Yes. Yes.
Proof. I always tell Avery, great leadership parenting lessons. Where he's like, I don't want to do that. I was like, I don't want to do this either.
I do many things every day that I don't want to do.
Like, I really don't want to do this. And I, like, when they need to clean their rooms, I never want to clean my room. But I love that the other question I picked, what's your favorite thing that I cook?
I mean, the first thing that came to mind is probably not actually, but it was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
And it's, we haven't had it recently because it's not like the healthiest, but
is it the chicken bake?
Yes, the chicken bake.
But it's good. I make a good chicken rice bake, man.
Yeah, you put some salty potato chips on the top and
yep.
It's very good.
So I love that the question that I pulled with this was, what's your favorite restaurant?
Great.
Today we were working in and Josh stopped in my office and I said, I don't want to cook tonight. Can we just grab a gift card and... So we're trying, you know, our New Year's resolution is stay within the budget.
Yes, especially in that area.
That is the area that gets us, man.
My favorite restaurant right now in Bismarck, I just really love India Clay Oven.
We should have tried to predict one another's because I would have said that for you.
Yeah, I get the same thing every time, but it's
just
so good.
So good. Gosh.
I also love Eat Thai, so
favorite restaurant. I feel like I have a favorite restaurant. I have my favorite restaurants that we don't have here, and I'm wondering if that's why they're my favorite.
Because they're rare.
Yeah, but I would say Crisp and Green. Wouldn't you say, like, if I have that option.
Which
that,
I think we heard it's coming
or
here.
Or Chipotle. Like, I will get those hands down if I could choose.
Yeah, not Chipotle in South Fargo, but we had a bad experience. I
not
shouldn't say
South
that on the
Fargo.
Podcast. But.
No, a different location in Fargo.
Yeah.
There are other locations in Fargo that are better.
But we do love Chipotle.
You can figure that out for yourself, though. Crisp and Green. We have heard rumors is coming to Bismarck. My dad calls it the expensive salad place.
Yeah.
Which is true.
But it's good and it's fresh.
They're very good
it's
salads.
It's crisp and it's green.
And they have acai bowls and smoothies.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
It's just healthy.
So if you're in Fargo, it's near.
Yeah.
Or is it on 45th?
Sorry, I have gum today.
It's good.
I probably need to take it out or I'm going to be chomping in their ears.
Yeah.
Because I love you all.
You guys, this is a thing that not many people know about me, but one of the things that makes me cringe in life is chewed gum. Like when people put it on their plate or on their coffee cup while they drink it, it grosses me out.
Does it gross you out that I just put it in a Post-it?
Depends where you put that Post-it, but...
I'll set it by your phone.
But now my kids chew gum and they just kind of spit it out wherever they want sometimes.
It's bad.
And not only is it messy, but it just makes me mad. And I'm thinking about banning... chewing gum.
Okay, the problem is I chew gum
our house.
And our children know how to get in the cupboards. That's the only thing.
So, right. So I'm
you know,
get
we're
you
not
a,
here to solve our, you know,
some people
woes
have a gun safe. I'm gonna give you a gum safe.
Great. Not a gun safe,
a gum safe. That even worked out better than I could have imagined.
Josh has been quite punny today. Okay. Today, we're just gonna kind of chit chat about some things, but
it's
good.
Yeah, and it's a little spicy.
Oh, it's spicy.
Isn't it? It's not like talking about sex spicy, but it's like spicy in its own way.
Why?
Because it is stuff that some people would view as open-handed, some people would view as closed-handed, and we're not even, I don't think we're coming with like a, this is what you have to do, but we're going to share why we do what we do in this area.
Yeah. It's kind of like if we're sitting around having a coffee and it's funny because I've had a couple conversations recently and even a phone call recently around something like this. And it's just going to be like that conversation.
Well, and we do like part of the hope of this podcast is that it's like having coffee with people. Mm-hmm. And we do sometimes just riff on questions that people are asking or shooting us on social media. And
right.
Like somebody has said like, hey, you said closed-handed and open-handed issues in church. Like, what does that mean? You know, or mm-hmm. Janae's had clarifying conversations with people of why we live our lives certain ways on certain things. So what we really want to mm-hmm. talk about today is just convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have convictions, you know, to some degree.
What does that mean?
Conviction biblically is like a sense of right and wrong. And I would even go further and say like a sense of right and wrong for you. Not that we all get to choose our own convictions, but the Bible is pretty clear that there's going to be stuff that God says is not okay for you, but could be okay for somebody else. There's things in the Bible that God says are not good for anyone.
Right.
Or things that are permissible for everyone.
Right.
Or things that are permissible, but you shouldn't do them because it could cause somebody else to stumble.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw a couple of verses. Not throw a couple of verses. I'm going to read a couple. It's the word of God. Mm-hmm. Don't just throw it around. But just around conviction in general. I understand I'm not reading the whole chapter. I'm picking verses.
Yes.
What? Why are you smiling?
I want to tell a funny story about convictions.
Great. You can do that next. Done. Is it about us?
No, it's actually something I read in the Bible that I didn't even like. I knew it was there, but it just hit me different this time.
We're pre-recording this. It will air later, but Josh just finished The Shred, which is reading the Bible in a month.
Yeah, so literally there's stuff people talk about and I'm like, whether it's in Genesis or Philemon, where I'm like, oh, I just read that because I literally read it in the last 30 Bible. Days.
If they reference anything from scripture, you can say, I just read that.
Yeah. And I'm not even doing it on purpose, but it just keeps happening.
But it is. It's true. So like Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So conviction is within the realm there.
Right.
Conviction of things not seen. So even a conviction of, yeah, like the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, all of that. John 16:8, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin in John 16:8. And so there is like, I think if you think of someone convicted of a crime, so there's that in the world, but the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and be our guide through scripture, but also brings conviction where necessary, but in particular to sin. So even in how Josh and I are going to talk today about this, this is where we're going to hopefully give context to some things is, yes, there is conviction for things that are sin, that it's out of the Lord's loving kindness that he convicts us of it to stay away from it for our good. And there are some things that maybe the Bible doesn't explicitly say, hey, this is sin, but we feel a conviction that maybe it's just us and a moral compass, or it could be the Holy Spirit, but we're going to listen to it.
Or because right? of like your history or part of your life, you just right. know it's something you shouldn't go near.
Yep. I think this portion in Proverbs 16:9 is interesting, where it says, yet for a person's health to change for the better, he must begin by preparing himself and building strong convictions from within.
Yeah.
So convictions. Maybe we'll call this highly unlikely convictions. I have no idea. Did you tell your funny story?
Well, it's not even really funny. It's just interesting on this topic because I was reading.
I sit in the squeaky chair. I was reading
Acts 16 the other day.
The other day.
Literally the other day. Because if you ever did The Shred, it basically takes you like 23 days to get through the Old Testament. And then you literally read like the whole New Testament in less than a week because it's just a lot shorter.
Yeah.
So I literally was reading Acts the other day, and in Acts 16, which is New Testament, post-resurrection, no longer under the law.
I know what you're going to talk about.
But under grace,
mm-hmm.
and Paul instructs Timothy to be circumcised.
Yes.
According to the law.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why? Because he would have been a stumbling block to the Jews in the area where he was trying to reach. And so Paul says, even though you're under grace and you don't have to do this, you should do it in order to not be a stumbling block to the people you're trying to reach. And then at the end in like Acts 16:5, it says, and so there was added to the number daily, the people who were in the church and being reached. Like it was effective for ministry that he gave up his liberty in that area, which I just laugh about it because I'm like, man, if I'm Timothy, I'm like, come on, Paul. Like, is it that big of a deal? Like, if you're going to fight for something, that'd be a mm-hmm. thing to fight over. And so that's kind of where convictions come in of like, man, it might be like there's other people who are exactly the same type of leader. They were under Paul's leadership and the conviction wasn't the same for them because mm-hmm. of the people they're trying to reach.
Yeah.
And so what was right for Timothy wasn't right for everyone.
And that's where it's so, it's such a slippery slope because you can take that one thing, that one verse, that one moment of this was the conviction for right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, this is for everyone. So you have to look at scripture, right? Mm-hmm. And see, what does God say about purity? What does God say about, all these different things? What does God say overall, the overarching rest of the Bible point to this?
Right, because this is the birthplace of legalism, is that people take things in the New Testament that were descriptive mm-hmm. of what was right for that church or what was right for that person. And by taking the Bible literally in that area, they make it prescriptive for the rest of the church for all generations. When Paul was really describing, hey, Corinthians, because this is the fake worship that's happening and this is the idolatry in your city, you should do this and not do that. And we are supposed to take those things and interpret them for our spiritual battle and our physical location and what God has called us to.
Idolatry. That is still like
close-handed, wrong. Yes. There should be no other gods before me.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. So that's what we're going to try. Walk through the forest and try to create a path. No, we won't create a clear path, but we'll try to give context. And it's always hard because I can go too far in creating too much context around everything to not have one person misinterpret what we say. But we're just going to talk a little bit about, what it's looked like for us. And even on different things we've navigated where we have maybe differing convictions and how do you honor one another in that and go to the word with that. So,
just the other day, I was like, I saw something on Facebook that was a post in like one of the Bismarck pages. And it was like, what churches pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? And then people were like listing the churches that do it every Sunday. And then somebody was like, well, who doesn't pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday? And
why do you look?
Because sometimes those are like intriguing because you find out like where people are at. And it was turning into like, we're going to go after the churches And that's the part where it's like, man, people grab onto stuff that Jesus' intention wasn't that you have to do this or being legalistic about it. Jesus was giving us an example to teach us.
He was giving us a perfect template of prayer.
Right.
Right. And yes, that is how you should pray.
Because you can say the Lord's Prayer and recite it every Sunday, every Wednesday, three times a week, and not do it with conviction or live with conviction. And it's meaningless, friends, even mm-hmm. though it's the Lord's Prayer. So anyways, it's just conviction
sometimes. Well, because God looks at the heart and God sees the heart. And that is what he's going to judge you on, not just if you can recite something or parrot something.
Or if you said it every
week. And that's the thing is, someone else could come lead our church and have the conviction that you should pray the Lord's Prayer in every service, and maybe one day Evangel will.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's just like, I think it's also where the fundamental basis of where denominations come from
mm-hmm.
is differing convictions from scripture that then you're saying, no, this is the way. So we're going to talk a bit more practically in life because you have to navigate culture and mm-hmm. you're living in the world. You don't just get to shelter in place until Jesus returns or until you pass through eternity.
Well, and just to comment on what you just said,
because
there are people who are like, why can't all the denominations just be one? And why do we have mm-hmm. to have separate this and that, whatever? And it's like, and that's a beautiful thing that you're talking about, but that's never going to happen
mm-hmm.
because there's different convictions on different things. And so if we all believe in the fall of man, the salvation of man, the death and resurrection of Jesus, like the return of Jesus, like we can be in fellowship. Like
the truth of scripture.
Yes, on the things that are close-handed in scripture, but we don't have to be agreeing on everything and we don't have to have gatherings that are all together. Like that doesn't necessarily make the church better because people naturally fall into different tribes and different camps where they can mm-hmm. grow and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's an okay thing.
Right. Yeah. We're big. Yeah. I'm not going to turn this into a church podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
It's
like,
okay.
I'm thinking of questions people have asked too. Yeah.
Because I was about to go there, but it's a pure question, right? Mm-hmm. And it's an honorable desire, right? Which should there be of unity in spirit?
Yes. And there will be a day. Yes. Where we will all be gathered together with no lines, no denominations, giving glory to God.
That should be our response now. Isn't so nice that you say yes.
We're working towards that day.
It will happen.
Yep.
It will come.
Yep.
Probably not on this side of eternity, but it will come.
Yeah. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
Exactly. Wow. Okay. So this kind of came up. This has come up through a couple things that we've just shared openly about our convictions, not saying, ooh, this is what we do and you all have to follow suit. Your conviction should come through prayer. This has even happened when we were dating because we sought the Lord separately when we were dating. And well, I'd sought the Lord separately specifically for this. What are my convictions around physical boundaries and even emotional boundaries? What will we talk about? What will we not before you're in the covenant of marriage? And I had a conviction that I was not going to kiss anyone until I was engaged. This is just a quick example because I remember that was not your conviction. And so from the get-go of our relationship, there was like, oh, there's a hurdle to navigate. And you could have been like, peace, you are crazy.
Well, but it's also funny because I said one thing, but then I slow rolled any physical contact in our relationship overall, right?
But it was because you knew my conviction.
Yeah.
Right? Because we talked about that later.
Yeah.
You probably should have mentioned it at the time.
Probably.
Why you were too.
wasn't a great communicator.
It's all right. It's okay. The Lord gave me patience. Okay. But I just remember even like friends around us being like, we feel that conviction too. We're like, we're going to do that. And I remember saying, I hope I'm quoting even myself accurately from what I remember, was like, yeah, you guys should be sure you pray about this and like it's actually like the Lord is asking you to do this. Because that is all I clung to because I really liked you. And it wasn't that I didn't want to do it, but it had to have been the Lord asked me to do this. And so, and I just remember that where people were very passionate about it on the front end. But then as it got later in the relationship, like, yeah, well, no, that didn't happen. And so that's where it has to be from the Lord. And we talk about this even in scripture. Josh has referenced it from the platform where there is secondhand revelation. So even like the conviction of us waiting to kiss till we were engaged, that was my conviction. It was secondhand conviction to Josh because it was mine from the Lord. That was firsthand for me. But even like in church, like, yeah, the message or sermon might be great, but that person went to the Word and found that revelation, and you're getting it fed to you secondhand.
Right.
God desires to give you firsthand conviction and revelation from His Word through like His presence, like Him speaking to you. And so there is power in that. I have a mentor that has a theory, it's her own theological theory on what happened in the garden with Eve. Right. And yes, the serpent tempted, but she says, I think Eve wasn't strong because it was secondhand revelation. And Adam told her. Adam heard straight from God. And he delivered it accurately, but it was secondhand revelation and the power of firsthand conviction or revelation. So seeking the Lord above all else and seeking first His righteousness is key in this.
It's like if somebody comes to you and tells you how something happened versus if somebody comes and tells you what somebody else told them.
Right.
That happened. Like that's what you believe is based on who it came from and even your amount of conviction.
Or if it actually happened to you.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. And so that's the parallel. But.
Right. So we have a couple areas where we've had people say to us, like, that bothers me that you guys say that or believe that.
Right.
And the two areas have been, like, our even conviction around in marriage, what does each of our interactions and communication and relationship friendships with the opposite sex look like, particularly in marriage, but also we had decently similar convictions even before we met, right? So, because our conviction in marriage is like, there is no need. There's no need for a lot of things. And I will say our overarching conviction, I'm speaking for myself, I don't know if you'd say this exactly the same, Josh, is why would you not go to all lengths needs possible to protect your marriage and cherish and do what scripture says to love and respect one another, even in things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But these convictions and decisions have been made in unity with him and I. It's not like him coming saying, this is what, because that's also not a healthy marriage, but this isn't a marriage podcast. It's about convictions. But just some people have wrestled with that and it's okay. And I've just said, like, this is our conviction. Like, you have to seek the Lord. And what's broken my heart is where I have situations where maybe a wife comes and says, I feel this way, but my spouse does not, where oftentimes, and this is from actual conversations I've had, but like oftentimes that spouse is not seeking the Lord, not submitted to discipleship, all of that, where they're like, they think it's fine to snap a girl all day or text them. That's not their wife. And they're like, it's harmless. I'm not doing anything. What's your problem? Why are you being so this? And so that to me is heartbreaking. And if you're in that situation, I'm so sorry. So what we're going to talk about in regards to convictions is coming out of unity between him and I, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, we're in agreement with this. But usually it's from one of us saying, hey, what do you think about this?
Right.
What does the word say about this? But then we have to seek the Lord. But a part of that is, and we say in our family, like Sheldons don't have secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do surprises. That's fun. Secrets? Mm-mm. And if someone says, hey, I have a secret, I've heard people say like, that's our secret to our kids, and have later had to say, we don't have secrets in our mm-hmm. home. Because Satan, I believe Satan's one of his number one tactics is secrecy.
What's the like Disney movie? And remember, it's our little secret. I can't remember what it is, but there's like a kid's movie that has that in that. Yeah. And it's like, nope, that leads to bad places.
Right.
You know?
I mean, yeah.
As you're talking about this, I'm just thinking, is it a sacrifice? Yeah. Like, do you feel a connection or a drawing to people outside your marriage at times? Like, especially in yes. the hard times? Like, yeah, your heart can like move somebody's direction. But I go to bed every night, and even on Janae and my absolutely worst days, never fearing that there's somebody on the side
mm-hmm.
that she is emotionally, spiritually, physically bonding herself with,
mm-hmm.
even in our hardest times,
mm-hmm.
you know? And right. that, like that assuredness, you know? And that happens a lot of different ways. That happens because we do guard who we talk to. We don't share difficulties in our marriage, you know, like outside of...
We kind of decided that early on.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to bring a couple on at some point to talk through where they didn't start off that way and right. and then came to the Lord or came to this realization and had to kind of backpedal, because that would be hard.
Like, I don't think there's even people in our lives that either one of us would wonder about, because like, oh, Josh has this one girlfriend that he snaps with, or that he...
Or that one coworker know. That I just know they have this kind of weird bond, and it kind of is interesting.
Right. And if there is something like that, that one of us notices, it's like we bring it to each other's attention.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, that makes me uneasy, or like, you know, and just being forthright about that.
Yeah. And so other just really quick convictions that we have as a family is like repentance should be normal in our home.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not repenting, does that mean that you're sinless? Because it says to confess your sins to one another, even in the small things. And that's even what I've seen in relationships, friendships, anything, families, is like you stop even just repenting for things that you view as small, which we don't see God put a gradient on sin. There is one time he says, has committed the greater sin. So there is one verse that talks to that. But so I even think of, like before, when we've gone to each other and been like, hey, I need to apologize. I need to talk to you about something. It's kind of like you brace yourself. And then he'll like apologize. And I'm like, oh, I thought it was going to be way worse than that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. No, 100%. I forgive you. Thank you for telling me.
But if you're not living in repentance, you're living in justifying behavior. Like your pride mm-hmm. is justifying what you're doing. And it's just such like.
Or it's not that big of a deal. Why would I repent for that? That's dumb.
Right. Or mm-hmm. that person's only a friend or whatever. But mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, like the number of emotional affairs that we talk about with people.
Facebook and social media.
Yeah. Or
don't
just.
Do it. Don't message back that old high school flame. Don't do it.
Don't even add them, you know?
Don't take the bait, man. Sorry. We have seen too much crap
Yeah, and it happens so often, and people are like, oh, it never happened to us, or I just don't want to sacrifice in that way. And it's like, you are setting yourself up for heartache and disappointment. And so we have a conviction of we don't entertain relationships like that. I've had people in my office who have sat down and said, I just want to share for a second about my husband and what we're going through. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Janae. Like, I'm not even going into your marriage with you. Especially if it's not
I'm not going to bridge this,
yeah, from a place of hurt or disappointment in your spouse. I'm not going to be the shoulder to cry on, the emotional strength that you need in that moment, because your heart, our hearts are wayward. They want to go their own direction. They want to attach to things in places that they shouldn't, like our money and people outside of our marriage. And like that, the heart is deceitful above all things. Like,
I was just going to look up that.
And so just not even setting yourself up for moments where you're allowing that to happen, you know, in order to protect your family, protect your marriage.
And I know the situations you're talking about when you say that. And those people weren't looking for an affair. No, they're pure-hearted women.
But you got to know your heart.
And that's the whole thing with conviction is like, you can go too far and be like scared of everything, right? Like, oh, and it's not about being scared. It's like, no, this is a conviction. And conviction is from the Lord for wisdom. And for us, it's also different where the Josh is high visibility. It's so funny because we knew of a friend in ministry where like he had like an actual code hand gesture that his staff knew or certain people on his staff where if he made that hand gesture at any point, and it was a natural thing, like maybe covering his face or pushing his hair in a certain way, that it was his signal to this certain number of people on his staff of like, I don't feel comfortable with this woman talking to me. Like, I'm sensing something there and you need to come get me out of this conversation.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, it's just wisdom. Because like, you just never know. I would say there are certain women with eyes that you just know. It's like, no, sorry.
Right.
That's a church tangent. You can go on a lot of things like that. But the enemy is tricky and you just, yeah. You don't have to live in fear of that. We know the end of the story. He does not win. But along the way, we've seen a lot of collateral damage in people's lives because they don't cherish the conviction given from the Lord. So we have different ways that we safeguard our marriage. And there's certain things that we even just talk through and say, hey, is this wisdom or is this not? And I use this example a lot. And I think of people that we're close friends with. And one, it's like a husband-wife duo and we're close. And the husband, he legit feels like a brother to me. Like I look at him and I view exactly the same as my brother in regards to any, even in frustration at sometimes. And we will talk like siblings, you know? And one time him and I were meeting because we worked together. And we're in, I think, my office or your office, because it's funny. Because sometimes I'm just in Josh's office if he's gone for a day and I'm like, I'm just going to work from here. And we just were talking about something and the door got closed. And we both just kind of stopped and acknowledged like, we don't feel anything towards each other, but we got to operate in wisdom. And and scripture says, even flee from the perception of evil. And living above reproach, it's not super sexy, man. It's not like people aren't running to that. But if you, yeah. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you the ability. So it, like you said, it takes diligence. It's hard work.
And the Bible doesn't say like, well, I don't know what it doesn't say, but what it does say is, what the Bible does say, I was trying to create a contrast and I don't know how to give one. So it says, don't give the enemy a foothold.
Yeah.
It doesn't say like, kick him out or keep, like, it says, don't even let his foot in. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it is, well, what I'm doing isn't wrong or it's like, it's not a sin or whatever. And it's like, no, but you're putting the enemy's foot in the door.
Right.
By having that conversation or by talking with that person or whatever, like the enemy has a foot in the door. And then all it takes is a crisis, an argument,
right,
a day of feeling lonely.
Yeah.
You know, for him to be fully in.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think if this, we could go on this exact specific topic for about 40 more minutes, but if this, like, if you're like, I don't even want to hear about any of your other convictions, I only want to talk about this in regards to the context of marriage, you should go listen to Brady Boyd's message. It's like an old message, but I think it's called The 12 Steps to an Affair. We try to listen to it once a year, And he literally talks through, these are the 12 steps. And step number one is you lean away from your spouse.
Your heart. And it happens to everybody.
Everyone.
No matter how strong your relationship is.
And just he'll say like everyone at least is like tempted or gets to this step. And you either going to course correct and recognize it or you're going to get to this step. And I think steps like 5 through 12 can happen in a matter of days or hours.
Right.
But that was the first message where I was like, oh, this is very practical and tangible. And so our convictions would probably rely around not leaning our hearts away. But we just committed to one another in so many
ways. It's not leaning your heart away. It's being responsible with your heart when your heart does lean away.
But the cool examples in that I think would surprise people are like that person that laughs at your jokes and thinks you're really funny. I don't appreciate Josh's sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
He probably could find a woman that really appreciates his sarcasm and that can make him feel good. I even think of anyone in leadership positions for us, why we've been so diligent is, and I love this. There's no ounce of bitterness in me or jealousy by any means. But when we're out and about, it's pretty common. On average now, I have a game where I say, let's bet kids, how many people are going to know daddy, which is fun. But oftentimes it's about how amazing he is. And they just we love your preaching or you have such a gift or we just think you're so amazing. And I get the heart they're saying that. But we've even had to keep on top of that. If I'm the only one not saying that you're amazing, what could that do to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
When I'm the one that comes and says, hey, babe, I need you to, I don't feel as loved as maybe I want to. Yeah. Like, so we have safeguards for a lot of reasons, but being in leadership is a big one. Right. So a part of that is with the no secrets is I know his passcode. He knows my passcode. There is no visceral reaction in me when he takes my phone. Other convictions, I think of something like Snapchat. What?
I have a visceral reaction when you take my phone because usually you're like, let me see that. And then you look at it and then you keep scrolling. And I'm like, well, I was looking. I was reading. Don't take over.
True. This
That's
is very
my
true.
Visceral
so
reaction.
Now he will let me see, but he will not let go of his phone.
Yeah.
And then I'll try grab it and he hangs on to it and he goes, no, I am looking at that. You can see what I'm seeing, but don't take my phone session away from
You're
me.
You're trying to get in my algorithm right now. Get out.
That happened more when I did give up social media and he was showing me on social media something. And then I tried to take his phone and he's like, look. So we can laugh about it.
I think I always go back to this verse on convictions. You know, Jesus said, John the Baptist came eating and drinking and you called him a drunkard. No, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking.
Yes, neither eating nor drinking.
The Son of Man came eating and drinking and you called him a drunkard. Wisdom is vindicated by all her children.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom bears fruit in your life. And
yes.
So what is the decision of wisdom in whatever conviction? What does the Bible call wisdom in that situation? And Proverbs goes through that. Like wisdom mm-hmm. is this, wisdom is that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the wisdom choice? Even if I really want to do it or if I feel like I should be entitled to be able to do mm-hmm. it, like what is wisdom?
Mm-hmm. One, that's a great segue. Into leading mm-hmm. in another one of our convictions is that we don't drink.
Yeah.
Which ruffles a lot of people's feathers. And I think if me drinking bothers you, I think that says more about you than me.
If you not drinking.
Did I say that?
Yeah, bothers them. Hold up.
Then if me drinking, that should bother you because I say we have a conviction to not.
But I would say in our opinion,
yeah,
drinking biblically is more of an open-handed issue.
Drunkenness is not.
Drunkenness is a close-handed issue.
Yep.
However,
right?
Our choice to abstain both aligns with the covering that we've chose to be under, which has asked us to abstain,
mm-hmm.
but also with our conviction that our lives are modeling Christ-likeness.
Right. But I would say our convictions came to that before the covering that we're under.
Yeah, way before.
For ministry. Yeah. And we even had to say that, like, yeah, if we ever weren't under, like, this covering in ministry, or weren't in ministry, would we change our convictions?
Well, and again, it comes back to, like, what would be wisdom for us? And I just know from me and my personality and the way I handle stress, wisdom is abstaining.
Right.
You know.
And so, like, you even said our opinion. Like, I think what we see in Scripture is like our conviction came from the Lord of what's going to be best for us in the long term. Because he knows. He knows if the stress of leading at the level we are right now would have led. We've seen leaders that they turn to alcohol or they turn because they couldn't cope. Mm-hmm. And it's a legit thing. And there are some days where I'll come and I'll say, yeah, Josh, a summer shandy would be real nice right now. Because I did. I did drink in my, I would say my BC days, because it was pretty much drunkenness. Where you hadn't. You're just real good, you know, in that area. But acknowledging that and then saying that would taste real good because I am stressed right now. And that would be a bad reaction. And because I just need, for me, I need to acknowledge it. And that's like, and this is why the Lord safeguarded us from this, because this would be probably our tendency more than likely.
Yeah. The Bible talks, sorry, I said the Bible a lot because I can't think of the exact reference. I'm really bad at thinking of the references, but I just read it.
Yeah, well, you read all the references.
I'm only going to use that for another podcast or two. But it says, it speaks, and there's a couple places. One talks about like everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. But there's a specific one, I can't remember where it is, where it says not to be mastered by anything. There should be nothing in your life outside of the Holy Spirit that masters you.
Yeah.
You know, and if your emotions master you, you got to work through that. I don't know. Like, I've been drinking a lot of decaf coffee because I just am like, I don't want to be mastered
by caffeine.
And I don't want it to have an impact on my body if I give it up. Like, I don't want to be mastered by anything. I don't want to be mastered by debt. I don't want to be mastered by weed. I don't want to be mastered by alcohol. Like, I mean, you can just kind of go along.
That could be like your phone of good things. Like, not even things that are technically sinful, but you're mastered by it. It owns you.
Yes. And you have to understand that there are things that you can use in your life that are going to lead you to being mastered, or there's going to be a constant pull that it wants to lord over you.
And there are some people that can have XYZ present in their life and they're not mastered by it. It's not, I think that's the unfortunate thing about being in the Midwest and specifically to alcohol, because we used to be number one binge drinking state in the nation. It's so funny because we talked to another friend in ministry who does drink, and they're in ministry, and we were just talking about that, and then we told her more about like the context even of where we're at, and they're like, oh yeah, no, like your people don't even have it modeled what it looks like,
and
moderation or abstinence, like from that.
And I think when you look at North Dakota, it is a stronghold in this area. 100%. It is a demonic stronghold, and I'm not saying like, oh, I have a glass of wine and you're saying that's demonic. No. What I'm saying is the fact that people here cannot drink in moderation and they're always modeling excess. The fact that people here become a different person when they have a glass or a can in their hand and all of a sudden they have this confidence and this boldness and their true personality starts to come out, that is a stronghold. That is people in bondage that are using something to try to find an identity and so I just think that you have to look at that too and just say, what is the stronghold in my area? And if I want Jesus to bring victory, then I'm not, if it's a stronghold, I'm not even going to go near that. And for some areas, it's affluence and wealth, you know, like it can be different things, but in this area, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to affect your convictions, just like Paul circumcising Timothy, like you not doing this in this area is going to be a huge stumbling block to all the people you're trying to reach. And if you're called, and if this is what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, then that responsibility and that calling is greater than your preference.
I think it's very interesting of what I've found, because for me, there's people that knew me as the Janae that drank and then knew me as the Janae, or maybe know me now as the Janae that doesn't. And I have had to think to myself, if I said to them, no, I'm an alcoholic, like I don't drink, I'm an alcoholic, they'd be fine with that. They would support me in that. But because it's like, no, I just, the Lord really convicted me of this, then they're not as cool with it. It's like there's so many things to it. But sorry, we're kind of going down a little bit more, expanding past what is our convictions. But that conviction, we both know we both can have addictive tendencies in our just in who we are, even in leadership. I believe the Lord allowed us to get pregnant with our first son sooner than we thought, because we would have became overachieving ministry people and we would have lived at the church and we maybe eventually workaholics and we maybe eventually would have been like, you know, we're pretty fulfilled. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And maybe that's not the Lord's reasoning, but I could see where he would have protected us from that because it slowed us down in a good way, forced us to. So that with alcohol, I think too with convictions, I was just talking to someone on the phone that was asking around the whole, hey, where is like your biblical basis for spouses not speaking, like for you not talking to other guys? And it's like, okay, just clarify. I have conversations with friends who are guys. Right. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh my gosh, get away from me. No, it's more of the private, unnecessary, emotional. It's like your access and responsibility thing. And so I was like, oh, okay, wow, you want all the biblical references. I said, I was like, well, let me just pull them off the top of my head. But I said, it's more of like premise of purity and more of the premise of we're called to respect and love one another. So is it me respecting my husband to have these conversations with men? So just kind of talk through that. Where was I going with that? Why did I reference that again? Crap, you guys. Sometimes I go down on, I was going somewhere.
Well, just keep going.
Well, I don't know if you want that. Guys, this is my worst attribute, I think, is that I lose my train of thought. I can't get it back.
It's okay.
But she was asking for, yeah, like the biblical references. This is where I was going. Bing. Yep, there it is. Came back, boomerang. And I just was like, yeah, but that's my conviction. And this person shared, I think, our conviction with that. But it was about like maybe friends around them that did it. And I was like, you're not their Holy Spirit. I said, you don't have to feel that burden. Cause I think she wanted to know all the Bible verses to really convince them. It's like that you can witness in an appropriate way of what your convictions are. The best model you could give, I didn't say this story, but I'm saying it now. The best model you could give as a, yeah, this is a great conviction is a healthy flip in marriage. And I just had an evening with a couple friends and a friend had all these questions ready. And it was like, what's been your greatest achievement? And me and a dear friend who was sitting next to me and we both had the same answer. And we said, it's the families we've built and the men that we married. And it made me emotional because that was something before fully surrendering to Christ where it was like, I just didn't have much hope. Like it was like, I'm going to end up single because I don't think I'm going to be able to pick a good one or find someone that whatever. Mm-hmm. But a part of that has been through just diligent and us speak. And what we were answering was like, no, our marriage is like healthy. Like this is a blessing. Like this is blowing us away of who I get to parent with. And I think it's been a mutual, both of us being submitted to the Lord. But so that's what I just think you're not here to force anyone else into convictions.
No, like, yeah.
Because you might have a conviction that everyone could abstain. But you're not their Holy Spirit, abstain from alcohol or we have a conviction, you know, we think it is God's best to wait to have sex until marriage. And that if that's in your past, God can redeem that, you know, at any moment. But also, and do I know people that don't agree with that conviction and aren't living to that conviction? Yes. I think your first question with that is, are they believers? Like, do they say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm committed to the way of Jesus? Then there is a healthy accountability in the body of Christ for us to help hold one another accountable to things that are actually sin.
Well, right, because the Bible is close-handed on sexual immorality. Yes. Thessalonians is clear, you know, on that issue.
That's true. I delved into something that isn't an open-handed issue. So it's like,
that maybe where we should have started this conversation is these are convictions for convictional followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
If he's Lord, you know, and based on what you said about like, yeah, I don't, the worst thing that could happen is people say, well, that's what Josh and Janae do. So that's what I'm going to do.
Oh Lord. Yeah.
Like, no, you have to go to the word. I was just thinking about, there's a really popular church that was a part of the Assemblies of God. And that church decided to leave the Assemblies of God for maybe a legitimate reason, you know, and it wasn't over dispute. It was just over functionally. That was the best decision for that church. But then all these other churches that were following that church decided to leave as well. And so for the first church, the why was very clear. Mm-hmm. For all the other churches, they just did it because that church did it. and the why was not clear.
And if I think I know the story you're talking about, the first church actually went above and beyond to try to be extra honoring.
Like they continued behind closed doors. They continued to honor and to sow financially into their Assemblies of God network for years.
That they had left.
To but honor, other even though they had left. But others just stopped. And that that is where things go sideways, is when you do things for the wrong reason or you don't know why. It's because somebody told you you had to, and it's not according to the word of God and the wisdom of scripture for your life.
Right. What are some other convictions we have? I have a weird conviction that I don't think is based off of the Bible. I think it was just personal to me as a mother. And not until we had kids did I know that I had a conviction that I just didn't want my kids riding a school bus. And it wasn't about the school bus or I'm like, oh, the school bus is bad. I just wanted to have someone pick my kids up from school that they know and love. One of us or a dear friend or family member. And that was, I didn't realize I had that until I had kids. So that's a silly conviction, but that's mine. And if we were in a pickle, sure would, I mean, like, our kids could ride the bus and they kind of want to ride the bus, but that's our conviction. A different conviction we have, and this is based off of purity, like things that we watch.
Yeah,
like
screens.
And it used to be, oh, we don't watch R-rated movies. You can't even go off of that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's not off the rating. I don't even trust the rating scale. Our kids know. I say this in our house. You can't trust Netflix. They say it. Yeah, Mom, that's on Netflix, and we can't trust Netflix. And I said, you're right. Sorry.
There's not much that we watch that we don't look up first and read about.
Right. There are some really, and we haven't done this, we have friends that have, there's a really cool app called VidAngel that you can stream your stuff through, your streaming services through, and you can literally say, like, I don't want these cuss words, I don't want these scenes, and they just like either the words are gone or it like just skips to the next scene or something.
Right. So. I mean, yeah, the eye is the lamp to the body, you know, and what the Bible says, I will not look upon any vile thing, you know. And
we had mentors that we asked about this and their kids talked about it too, that above their TV, they had that verse, I will set my eyes upon no vile thing. And it was their just accountability as a family of like, because even, and go a little deeper in that conviction, because it's interesting. We were talking to the audio, like our audio guy, Mitch, before to this start recording this about, he's listening to a different podcast that's kind of giving some biblical theological basis for like different kind of demonic influences that can be let in ways that you don't even realize.
Yeah.
And, or I watched this show and then, wow, I struggled with this sin pattern after that. Oh, interesting. You allowed something into your home. And so for us, our conviction is if it's on a screen in our home, you're allowing that into your home. Like you guard the culture of your home.
Mm-hmm.
You guard what is said. And that comes through your own actions, but that comes through passively. So even like we're diligent about commercials. Josh loves to watch football. And he knows, like, oh my gosh, the other night I was like, fast forward the commercials because we'll record. And Josh is like, it's a commercial about Jesus, Janae. And I was like, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. But we just, around screens and just what you're opening yourself to and your kids to, we're diligent in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that deals with things that, because honestly, shows now, it's like what used to be called porn, like in the old days. And now it's just common, you know? So it's just, and I love how our e-kids and youth are training parents and kids. Like, no, I'm going to train my kids. This is a pornographic image.
Yeah.
Just because culture now says this image is appropriate, I can't even imagine in 45 years what they're going to say is just allowed for anyone to see.
Yeah.
You know, so we just have to be diligent about that.
Yeah, I would say the other one that kind of goes along with a little bit of what you're saying is we are very, we have a strong conviction just about not allowing things into our lives. And this is an easier one, I think, for me because I was really raised this way.
Mm-hmm.
But not allowing things into our lives that are demonic, paranormal. What's the other word I'm thinking of? Like witchcraft, sorcery.
Like occultic.
Occultic type stuff because, again, like the Bible's clear on it, you know?
So you can go to like if and this is what we hope this would encourage you to get to scripture, because you can go to your Bible app and search sorcery, even mediums, like those that claim to speak to deceased people. It is clear in scripture that is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
It is not someone that has channeled that. They are operating under demonic influence.
And is it real? Yeah.
Yes.
Saul went to a medium, to a witch, and asked to speak to Samuel, who had died, and he spoke to Samuel. But he lost the entire kingdom. Like, the blessing of God was removed from his life. The kingdom was ripped away from him because it's an abomination before God. And mm-hmm. so that goes into a lot of different things. Like, because I know that I've heard of people who are going through grief, where grief care groups will offer, you know.
Or say that they're finding comfort because they went to see someone like this and are speaking to their deceased loved ones. Yeah,
and our hope is not speaking to those that have died. Our hope is in the resurrection of the dead.
Yes.
That if we know Christ, we'll be raised again. It's even depictions like you're talking about in movies of the demonic or of the occult or of, I mean, I'll just never forget the night that I had a show on and it was a Marvel movie.
I was saying, it's not what you would be like, oh, that's going to be bad.
Mm-mm. No, and I could feel it getting darker as the show
moved
on. And
when you mean by that, it's like spiritual influences. And that's the other thing too. Like, I look at kids' movies. They are now, there's usually I'm using air quotes, spiritual element to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's just very interesting.
Yeah, and people are like, well, we don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Yeah, but you don't got to entertain it, you know?
No, like, Jesus overcame, like he rose from the dead. We are more than conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
We carry the authority Jesus gave to us, willingly gave, said, you have the authority to cast out demons, heal every disease, okay? We carry the authority of Jesus' name, right? But, and then we also know we have access to the grace and mercy of God, right?
Yeah.
And this quote is on our bathroom wall that I wrote down and I put it up. And it says, the access and availability of God's mercy does not give excuse for moral laxness.
Right.
And just because you say, well, I don't have to fear. No, you don't have to fear, but don't lose your common sense. Mm-hmm. But you, God is holy,
mm-hmm.
righteous. And I think we lose sight of—
There is no darkness in him.
Yes. And we need to have reverence for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get where things can be entertaining. And I think, and I try to be vulnerable with this because I hate when people are like, you guys are so perfect. No, we're not. Like, it is a diligent daily laying down. Mm-hmm. The temptations are still very real. I, 10 years ago even, I really thought Friends is funny. There are some funny stuff in there, that show. Okay? And then the longer I served Jesus, then the conviction came of like, oh, it's not okay for me to watch this anymore because I feel a conviction about it. And I think the longer you serve Jesus, I do believe that you grow in your spiritual maturity. And so then he's not going to convict you of something you're not even ready for when you're like in your first year of serving him, when you're on the milk, you're in the infancy. But that's, I think, too, where a lot of believers and what we've seen in the church is they choose to remain in spiritual infancy. They're like, I need fed. Well, you only feed babies.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in spiritual infancy. And with that, then never comes the process of sanctification, which I think through the process of day by day turning more and more into the likeness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit will come different convictions, higher convictions.
Yeah, and I like the road to discipleship and in following Jesus is littered with things that were permissible but not beneficial, that,
yeah.
you know, things that you used to do that you don't do anymore. And that, yeah, the closer you go to Jesus, the more you're even going to lay down things that other people would go, really? Is that a big deal? But it's a continual pruning of like less of me and more of him,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just want, we got to wrap up, but just standing on my own credibility, like in pastoring this church and the number of years we've done it and our walks with the Lord, there's a real spiritual battle that we've seen people walk in. And from a young age, like I've had moments where I've woken up in the dead of night and sensed the presence of God so real in the room, or had dreams that were so filled with the presence of God that I knew they were from Him. I've also had nights where I woke up in a cold sweat, sensing that there was a battle happening.
Yep.
And realizing like there's a spirit or there's a presence in this room right now that is not holy and that is not bringing peace, and having to pray myself, you know, and pray that thing.
We'll step into the battle.
Yeah. And just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not real. And just because you don't see the implications doesn't mean there isn't things happening in the spiritual that are impacting your day-to-day life, you know?
When I think as you grow, like we've talked about spiritual maturity, which I think a part of that is I could not sense things in the spirit when I first started serving Jesus, because I just was like, what is this Bible? What? I don't even know how to like X, Y, Z. And God has grace for that. But as you grow in your spiritual maturity, or maybe you do sense it and you don't know what to do with it. But scripture says that the spiritual battle between the spirit and the flesh, I mean, and that we're not against just flesh and blood, but against, gosh, I'm going to misquote it, the spiritual powers and rulers and principalities of darkness. And so, but the spiritual battle, it says, is constant. Like there's no days off. And I've said it so many times, but if you had like my glasses, spiritual glasses we could put on and actually see with our tangible eyes what is happening in the spirit, we would pass out. Like we would, I mean, you'd rip those glasses off so fast.
Yeah. And just to be honest with people, when we're seeing people in freedom groups or people delivered from the demonic, or delivered from demonic symptoms and oppression in their lives.
Right. And even with that, you're not saying, ooh, these people are possessed. Nope. There
there's
can be
possessed,
that.
There's oppressed, you know, like there's a lot of different ways.
Yes.
But it is literally when we're trying to get to the bottom of it, we're going back to, what have you watched? Were you abused? What was said to you? Were you into horoscopes or Ouija boards or tarot cards or
crystals,
new age
thinking.
Crystals type stuff?
Like astrology.
Where did you open the door to the occult in your heart?
Yeah.
And now the enemy.
Medium, psychics.
Yes. And it's fruit. The fruit of righteousness is love, joy, you know, peace,
all the
patience.
Fruit of the
like the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the enemy is the opposite of those, not peace, not joy, not, you know, like,
find
not
the opposite
love,
of all
like, and that fruit will come up in your life. And so that's the stuff at the root that we're going back to and finding that people have opened the door to darkness in their lives, and now it's producing a fruit in their home or in their lives.
And so, I just was talking to someone in my family that it's just, this kind of talk is just different for that person. And I talked about like demonic oppression or people being delivered from a demonic influence. And they're like, what do you even mean? You know? Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I just don't think I would have really believed it either until I saw it.
Yeah.
And we are people where we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just think what is it? Post what, Josh? Era. We're in a post-modern, is that what it is?
Christian,
where it's like people are seeking spiritual things now. Where that even maybe wasn't as true. You would have called those people hippies how many years ago, decades ago, but now people are like my energy and my all these things, and they are opening themselves up to not the Holy Spirit, and it is impacting their minds.
It's supernatural.
It's spiritual.
It's spiritual, but it's not light. It's not the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It's darkness.
Our biggest guide, like thing that we talk about in guiding with conviction, is Jesus says, or said in John 10:10, I came to bring them life and life to the fullest. And when I think of, like we talked about, talking to other people, whatever, in marriage, drinking, what comes out of my mouth? That could even be screaming at people. Doesn't just have to be cuss words. All these different things. Ask yourself, Jesus came to bring life and life to the fullest. is this thing producing in my life that capital L life that only Jesus said he came to bring?
Right.
And if that thing is present in your life, is it hindering, impeding, stopping anything from that life Jesus came to bring, died for?
Yep.
Right? And so that, like, so that's just an easy gauge for me. Oh, this isn't bringing the light, like life, like how I think Jesus meant here. Right.
So last thought, and then we're done. Taking the final word here.
Great.
To build on what you said, it's not what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
That proves you guilty or condemns you. It is what goes into your life. Jesus said this.
Like
it's
into
not,
your heart.
Yeah, into your heart. It's not what comes out. It's what has gone in.
Right.
And so it's not like, hey, change your, just modify your behaviors and stop saying this or, you know, that. It is what is being put into your life and into your heart, because that's what's creating.
But that's the difference between conviction, is it's a heart level conviction. Mm-hmm. It's not law. If the law was so good and laws and rules work, then what on earth did Jesus die for?
Right.
Right. If it was, the law was so good, it's not. So mm-hmm. laws and rules, a list of rules, that's not our heart at all mm-hmm. of what we just said. And if that is how it came across, I'm so sorry.
Well, we're sharing very open with you. We are both open-handed and closed-handed convictions.
Yeah.
But it's your job, because God is the king of our hearts. His Holy Spirit governs our inner person to take his word and his Holy Spirit and say what's right for me. Mm-hmm. How then shall I live?
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. And Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Just say that.
Yeah.
So, and we're that, the church. Love you guys.
Woo.
We went down some more rabbit trails than we thought.
Yep.
But hopefully, I hope that just spurs you to seek the Lord. Like, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. What convictions do I need?
Right.
And so I hope it draws you to the quiet place with him, to the word with him, in prayer, whether you're in your car or wherever. Josh, like, wrap up. Janae, wrap up.
I am.
You
have a meeting. The timer's saying wrap up. And if those don't work, my bladder is declaring that we ought to wrap up.
Okay.
So.
And I know. You're right. So if you enjoyed this, you can share it with a friend. Subscribe.
And dare I say, to be continued.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Thanks, you guys. We love you.